Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios in New York City on CBS Sports Radio. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Bill in Florida, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scotty. I listen to you all the time, man. You're awesome.
Thanks, dude.
Hey, and I want to tell you that you don't remember when Goose played for the Pirates, right?
Of course.
I mean, that stadium went wild when he come in there.
Yeah, I remember all of it. I remember his whole career. I remember him in Pittsburgh and certainly in New York.
Yeah, but when they used to chant Goose, Goose, Goose in Pittsburgh, that he was at his best then, man.
Yeah, I don't think he was I don't think he ever got off in Pittsburgh like he did pitching in the Bronx.
No, he probably wasn't as good then, but I mean, in Pittsburgh, we loved him, man. We just chanted him every time he come out.
Yeah, I was talking to a guy today about growing up there, and he's like, it's the greatest sports city and everything, and he's like, all the teams win, and I'm like, yeah, you know, the Pirates, they used to win back in the day. Not only they won it in 71 and 79, they beat Baltimore both times. They, you know, obviously they won it in 60 against the Yankees. But that's going way back to before I was even born. But I know that all the other years that they made the playoffs, they were playoff failures. I mean, it just never worked out, especially when they were a wild card. They would get thumped. I remember the Cubs and Giants thumped them. I remember they beat the Reds one year. But this is recently, you know, in the last few years when they made a wild card. But they haven't had much success. And I think a lot of it stems from the fact that they don't have, payroll. They just have a, small payroll, small market payroll. And at the end of the day, nowadays, you'll get one of those teams, miraculously, if you're lucky, will make it. That's a small market team. Didn't Minnesota make it last year? They were horrible, and then they showed up and made it. And, it's usually one team maybe at best that's small market that'll make the playoffs, and everybody talks about how exciting it is, and then they're a quick exit.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, with him and Jacoby, they was badass.
With who?
Him and Kent Jacoby.
Oh, yeah, Jacoby was incredible, and obviously... Yeah.
They had both of them, Scotty.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
So that was, Goose was just coming into his own, and Jacoby was doing his underarm stuff, so...
Yeah, I think Jacoby, when you think about it... I'd have to really delve into it more, but I mean, I guess he was probably the best pitcher. Candelaria, Jacoby, Doug Drabeck were the best pitchers they ever had. And then, Blass has made a career out of it. Bob Walk and Blass, but I don't think, they had the, and I remember, they didn't have the, big numbers and careers that the others had, but certainly they had the broadcasting career. Walk and Blass have done the broadcasting forever.
Back when, a long time when they had Tavares as a shortstop and Rennie Stennett, and then you had Bob Ferguson Bob Robinson at first base and Willie and all them, man. That was great times and Pittsburgh.
Well, it was, and they don't have those anymore. I think, this year, based on what I'm seeing, that team, it's going to be a disaster. I mean, it really is at some point or another, isn't it? I mean, they are, oh, God. I'm scared to see what happens with that team. They're going to be like the Marlins. I mean, what do they have? They lost Kutch. They got nothing. What do they have on a team? Nobody wants to play there anymore. Right? Didn't Harrison, he wants out. Everybody, nobody even wants to be there. It's depressing for me. Like, even my kid, like, I've trained him to be a, you know, Pirate, Penguin, Steeler fan for life. Like, we all do to our children. We force them to be fans of our teams. My son's, like, had about enough of the Pirates. He's like, oh, God, they're so awful. He's like, I can't, they're just, he's embarrassed to be a fan of them. I mean, let's face it, right? I mean, he's right. But I've stuck through thick and thin with the Pirates my whole life, so all I call the Pirates is a long summer, you know? I still like going to PNC to games, but it's a long summer, and that's all there is to it. Sean in Boston on the Hub.
Hey, Scotty, how you doing?
Hey.
Hey, listen, like, I know the Celts got pounded last night, and, like, everyone's talking about, like, the Paul Pierce, like, factor of it, but I don't know. I don't buy it. Like, I'm a homer. You know,
what did that have to do with anything?
It's got nothing to do with it. Like, everyone was, like, talking about, like, the buildup of it, but, dude, we got crushed last night.
Yeah, that Paul Pierce had nothing to do with that beating.
I don't think so either. That's what I'm hearing, though.
Yeah, whatever. But they can talk about that till the cows come home. It had nothing to do with it. But what? That is the funniest thing I've ever heard. What did that have to do with it? What was he? Because he was sitting there?
even if we had a seven-game series, home advantage in Boston, do you really see the Celtics beating LeBron right now? Because I don't.
Well, I think that was, you know, one game. I think it was one Sunday afternoon game on national television. And, you know, it pretty much was like this. One team had their full mojo going and confidence, and they were playing at a different speed. I felt like they were in fifth gear and the Celtics were in fourth gear all day. And the bottom line is the Cavs were finishing and the Celtics were missing. And, I mean, at the beginning of the game, Kyrie and Horford were hitting their shots, right? And I said to Mafia, we're watching the game, I'm like, this guy, Kyrie Irving, never misses a shot. He never misses a jumper. He never misses a layup. He never misses a free throw, right? And then what happened later in the game? As the game wore on, Horford did nothing. Kyrie did very little. And the Cavs just kept scoring. So, and I mean, everybody was in on it. So when one team gets the productivity and the buckets and the ball is falling and you're scoring and you're playing at a high speed and you're getting transition buckets and blocks and rebounds and kickouts and go and buckets at the other end, you're not going to lose. And the other team looked like they were playing in fourth gear and they couldn't get anything going and they couldn't get the ball to fall. And that's, you know, that's how it works. That's how you lose. If you don't, I've always said, I talked to a guy today that plays on our team that Mafia and I play with, and he's like, what happened? I said, we couldn't score, and we didn't play any defense. And if you're not scoring and you're not playing defense, you're not going to win any game, let alone a game against a good team. Now, we don't know, to be honest with you, if Cleveland's that good. I mean, everyone's just overreacting today to, in my opinion, to one game and where they had the ball falling and they all had it going on and they were all loose as a goose and it was falling and they felt good and they got confidence and then they saw it all come together. That doesn't mean tomorrow night. Don't they play in Oak City tomorrow night? So let's see how they play tomorrow night on the road. Maybe they'll play just as well. Maybe they'll light up Oak City. Maybe, you know, it's the start of something big. Who knows? But it's one game, and they had it all going. And I don't know if it's for real or not. But today, right, like everyone I talked to today or saw today on television and everywhere else had them already in the finals. And they had them locked, stock, and barrel going to the finals, and it was a done deal, and they were going to win the East. And there is no way I'm buying that. There's no way I'm buying them after one game. No way. Because you know what? I'll give you this. They traded away the whole team. Congratulations. You got rid of the trash. They took out the trash and they got all new parts. They recycled. And they got all these guys now that apparently, allegedly, want to play and want to do something. So we'll see if it comes to fruition. But as far as I'm concerned, it's one game out of many. They got a lot of games left. And we'll see if they can keep it up and if they can get on a roll or if they can play this way cohesively and in concert with one another the rest of the way. Or if it was a one-game facade and we were all fooled into buying the Kool-Aid that they were some great team because they had one good day. You know what I mean? So I'm not ready to crown them at all. I'm really not. I'm not crowning them because they had one good game. They looked great yesterday, I'll give you that. And Cleveland had it falling, and you know, Boston didn't. That's why they lost. All right, let's go to Salt Lake. Royce O'Neal, great game again for the Jazz in their 101-99 win over the Spurs. Great finish. I saw your great steal and finish at the other end tonight, Royce. Way to pick the pocket there. That's a huge steal for you. Not only that, big win, 10 in a row. And then while you're out there winning, your boys, Baylor, gets it done in overtime in Austin tonight against Texas.
Yeah, that's what I heard, in triple overtime. That was a big win for them.
How about that?
Yeah, I'm glad to see them turning around, get a couple wins, you know, in the Big 12, especially. So.
Right, they be getting hot all of a sudden.
Yeah, definitely. They got to keep it up, so.
Hey, how about you guys, speaking of hot, 10 straight. It's got to feel good to have this role you guys are on right now. You guys are really coming together.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, taking 10 games in a row, you know, that's huge. Just taking it one game at a time, you know. Us focusing on defense and, you know, offense, just sharing the ball, making the right plays, and everybody playing themselves. So that's good for us.
So I got to tell you, Royce O'Neal with us from the Jazz. It all started on the road at Detroit, and then you go to Toronto and beat them by 4. Then you go home and beat the Warriors. That was kind of when the roll started. And in that span, you beat the Spurs twice and the Blazers on the road. So even New Orleans on the road with Brow in the middle and Rondo, these are some really impressive teams that you guys beat.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we just, you know, focusing in on each game, taking it one game at a time, you know, coaches going up a game plan, and then us defensively coming together, you know, rebounding, taking it one possession at a time, and then making the right plays on offense for us to win. You know, a couple of guys get hot, so we keep getting the ball, and then it's a different guy each night, but it's a team effort, and us playing collectively.
I got to tell you, you've been getting you know, massive burn, obviously, of late. And then when Rodney went to Cleveland, that kind of really opened the door for you. Am I crazy to say that? Because you were like a, you know, 20, 25-minute guy. Now, like tonight, you're playing 38 minutes. You got to be loving life.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just out there. I mean, I'm glad to be playing, taking advantage of the opportunity. And it's a great feeling. But, you know, me just putting in all the hard work and the coach having a lot of confidence in me to play me out there. And, you know, me not, you know, just doing what I do, not trying to do anything extra, but just playing my game, you know, playing with confidence.
I mean, you've been doing it, and don't think they don't notice those big defensive plays you're making and steals. And this is going back. I mean, I was watching you in the last, you know, 2 weeks. I saw you like pick one off of Lou Williams and throw down in that game. He's been playing great. You're picking his pocket. I love your defense that you're getting it done at that end. And don't think for 1 minute Quinn doesn't see that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, one of my best abilities is playing defense, you know. So coach puts me on, you know, one of the toughest matchups of who that game is going to be. And I just, you know, I just take pride in it, you know. Just focusing on locking in on defense, you know, that's where I, you know, play my part. And then, you know, just rebounding and being that guy who does a little bit of everything. So,
what about, how do you like playing with Donovan Mitchell? Boy, he's taking his game to another level.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, you can tell each game he's gaining more confidence. And then, you know, us helping each other out, being like rookies, playing off of each other, you know, telling each other what we see on the offense and defense. And then just, you know, just him playing with a great sense of humor and smiling and focus. You know, he's just growing each day.
I mean, there's all kinds of guys pouring it in for you. I think Ricky's been dishing it and playing great lately. Joe Inglis has been filling it up. You got all kinds of guys, even Big Rudy in the middle. You're getting – I think your health has been a big key to it, too, that you've been able to play so many games where a lot of guys get injured. You've been able to play tons of games. It seems like everybody's doing their job in bits and pieces. That's why it's all coming together. Am I crazy?
Yeah, definitely. We're playing, you know, just team ball. You know, you never know who's going to be the hot guy that night. And then us just playing collectively, sharing the ball. You know, it's an unselfish team. So us finding the open guy, you hit one, hit two, they're coming right back to you. So just us playing together as a team.
Well, hey, you got a bunch now at home. My God, you got, I think, the next five at home, Phoenix, Portland, Dallas, Houston, Mini. You guys can really turn this into something special with all these games in Salt Lake. Last but not least, that's got to make you feel good to have a nice five-gamer at home now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we're just going to take it one game at a time, so.
Hey, great job tonight, Royce. Thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio after a big win over the Spurs. Keep playing great, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Royce O'Neal with the Jazz joining us after their two-point win. Their 10th straight tonight as they beat the Spurs 101-99.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So this story breaking tonight, right, by John Heyman, the great baseball writer. He writes about Juan Carlos Nunez, a former employee of the ACES baseball agency, who went to prison for his role in the Melky Cabrera fake website and PED case, has filed a bombshell lawsuit against Seth and Sam Levinson. They run the agency. He claims, Nunez, that not only were they aware of the players' PED use, but allegedly directed players to folks who gave them PEDs. His lawsuit seeks $2 million in unpaid commissions and $500,000 in fees and expenses and is filed in the New York State Supreme Court. Paints ACES as a rogue agency that reaped millions of dollars in fees by cheating the game of baseball. The lawsuit claims that ACES also provided players with PEDs for decades. Wow. Purports to have signed affidavit from Kirk Radomski, who pled guilty to two such charges and was a major player in baseball's Mitchell Report on PED usage a decade ago, and also goes into minute detail about the Levinson's alleged involvement with convicted drug dealer Anthony Bosch of Biogenesis and how Levinson, Sam Levinson, introduced Cabrera, Nelson Cruz, and other baseball players to Bosch and was aware that Bosch's regimen for the players contained HGH, testosterone, and PED gummies. The lawsuit also claims the Levinsons made under-the-table payments to clients, says the Levinsons' mantra was to do, quote, whatever it took, end quote, even if it meant doing things in violation of the laws of the United States and the rules of MLB and a players' union, and that Nunez was, quote, thrown under the bus to protect their own reputations, end quote, and made to take the fall for the harebrained schemes to try to fool baseball regarding Cabrera's failed test. Those schemes include devising a phony website, which Nunez said was the idea of Seth Levinson, designed to fake out baseball into thinking Cabrera mistakenly took a PED after reading about it online rather than obtaining it from convicted drug dealer Anthony Bosch via Sam Levinson's introduction. The suit purports to have an affidavit signed by Radomski saying he regularly provided the clients of the Levinsons with PEDs and lays out the explanation of the pickup and drop-off routine. Radomski said he was unaware of the Nunez lawsuit, but said he provided such an affidavit for baseball when it investigated the Levinsons regarding the Cabrera case. He said, quote, I picked up money and checks from their office on Montauk Street in Brooklyn when they paid for PEDs. Wow. He said they were fully aware of what he was providing the players, saying Sam Levinson was in the room many times when explanations were given for such and such players' names not mentioned here. There's a lot of big accusations in the document, including under-the-table payments made involving Bosch and Biogenesis. ACES is one of the five biggest agencies in baseball. They got John Lester, David Wright, Dustin Pedroia, and tens of others. most of whom have never been connected to PEDs. Sam and Seth Levinson did not return calls to their office in Brooklyn. Gee, you wonder why. Nunez made a lot of claims in the lawsuit, including how it came about that they were introduced Nelson Cruz to Bosch following the unfortunate battle with his stomach bacteria that left him weak, and how he delivered the drugs to him in Bal Harbour, Florida. Cruz's name was one of a dozen players who turned up in the Bosch investigation, and he had to serve a suspension, too. I mean, this thing just goes on and on and on. Nunez goes into great deal how the Levinsons went to cover up the Cabrera failed test. Nunez also claimed the Levinsons made a call, made him call former Daily News sports editor Terry Thompson to swear to her falsely that the Levinsons had no knowledge of the PED taken by his clients, by their clients. Boy, what a mess, Carver.
Look.
Good stuff.
I always felt.
Your boy Melky.
The milkman delivering again here.
Guy can't stop doing steroids.
Home delivery of the milk. Cream and clear.
I always thought there was so much of this going on. How is there? And now listen, we don't know if this is true or not. This could be a disgruntled gentleman trying to smear a good agency. But I always felt that there was a chance that a lot of these guys had to know what was going on. Now, actually telling them where to go to get the stuff, I didn't think that that was involved. But I thought guys had to know what was happening if you were representing a player.
This is great stuff.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So, are you watching this Olympics? Did that chick win the gold, or is she just in first place right now? Is that what it boils down to, Carver High? Brittany Rowe, is that her name?
We have to get it on in here.
Ooh, a little behind, huh?
Well, you know how Mafia feels about the Olympics, and he has to wait till all the other games are done before.
It's un-American.
I was watching a lot last night.
Were you?
After the Islander game, I went right to the Olympics. I was right into it. They had team figure skating. I never saw that before.
Didn't the U.S. get like a medal there, bronze?
They got the bronze. I thought they just had like, there was men's individuals, there was women's individuals, and then there was like pairs, you know, where the two of them are out there throwing each other around. I didn't know that there was like a team combo joint going on with it. So a lot of exciting stuff. The snowboarding was awesome.
There you go.
I'm really enjoying it.
No one hits more winners than PharrellOnTheBench.com. It's just that simple. What a deal. You get every pick, every sport, every game, every day in the deal. So you sign up, you get every pick, every sport, every day. Let's check out this week's action tomorrow in the NBA. Houston and Minnesota. Cleveland's at OKC. College hoops tomorrow. Virginia at Miami and Oklahoma at Texas Tech and Lubbock. NHL Tuesday, Ottawa at Pittsburgh and New Jersey's at Philly. Don't forget, we give you boxing and MMA. Danny Garcia fights Brandon Rio Saturday on Showtime. Daily fantasy rosters are on the site as well. PharrellOnTheBench.com has it all. Sign up today. You won't regret it. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. Did you see the over the weekend Kentucky lost again?
I did see that.
So what's that? The first three-game losing streak under John Calipari.
Correct.
So the struggle is real.
Not a good scene for Kentucky right now.
How about your boy Pons Cold Cream with 44 for the Johnnies in their win? And I bet on them.
Which is how much I said they were going to lose by on Friday night when we were leaving.
So I'm the only one that took St. John's over Marquette on Saturday. And they did it at home. The Johnnies win again. Shamori Pons with a
huge game.
The single game scoring record at the Carnesecca Alumni Hall with 44. Pons Cold Cream going off in that game. Virginia's loss to Virginia Tech. A reminder that every team has flaws. Gee, you think? So they knocked him off in overtime, 61-60 in Charlottesville. That was huge for Buzz Williams' team.
Huge for them, no doubt. Honestly, does anybody really think that Virginia is going to go to the Final Four? Like, do you really believe it? Like, every year it's the same with them, you know, great regular season. They'll get a one or a two. They'll get a one this time. They'll be out. Like, you know, maybe they'll get through the first weekend. But you actually think that, that some team that can shoot will send them home in a heartbeat? I'm not kidding. They are not going to the Final Four.
So you're out on Virginia.
Out.
Mavia, are you out on the Virginia Cavs?
Yeah, I am. I mean, they have been better this year offensively than they are in the past. In the past, it's been that they don't have the guy that can make the big bucket when they really need it. This year, they've had some guys that have stepped up, but they still don't, you know, give me that feeling that I could trust them in the clutch. Yeah, they can make great defensive plays, but when you get in the tournament every now and then, you're going to run into a hot team that's going to beat that defense, and you need someone to step up and shoot. You're not going to get many 61-60 games.
Ole Miss hoops coach Andy Kennedy to step down after the season. Is there anything worse than these guys that announce they're leaving and there's still like 15 games left?
He's the winningest coach in school history.
He's in the middle of his 12th season. They have only 3 wins in the last 12 games and have lost 5 straight. Winningest coach in school history, as Carver High said. He's the only coach in program history to lead the Rebels to 11 consecutive winning seasons. So he's stepping down after one bad season.
They want him out.
It makes no sense.
They want him out.
11 winning seasons, and then you get rid of him with one bad season?
Not getting it done. It's not happening.
So get out.
Gotta go.
You gotta go. Meanwhile, their football team's in the middle of all their problems. They cheat like hell, right?
It's unbelievable.
Your boy Frank Reich gets a 5-year deal to become the head coach in Indy of the Colts football team.
You know, we always give Vegas credit for, you know, the team Twitter and their Instagram and all that they do. How, like, you know, they put humor into things. Yeah, you have the Colts credit here where they people calling out when you have to report it. They're like, I won't believe until I see a picture of them holding today's paper. So they actually tweet out a picture of him holding the paper from yesterday and a picture of him actually signing the contract so people know, okay, we actually have this guy. He did sign.
Yeah, I saw that. It was very exciting. Reuben Foster, did you see this guy? Former 49ers linebacker has been arrested for the second time in less than a month. He was taken into custody in Santa Clara County on allegations related to domestic violence. According to the San Jose Mercury News, he was also accused of possessing an assault rifle. The allegation came after his girlfriend accused him of dragging her during an argument between the two. He spent part of Sunday in jail. They released him. Prosecutors have 30 days to decide whether or not to charge him. Gee, do you think they should charge him for dragging his girlfriend across the house? No?
You wonder why all the teams passed on him in the draft last year and the 49ers were able to get him, you know, in the early in the second round. You wonder why that happened.
They're aware of the report regarding Reuben. We take matters of this nature seriously and are gathering all the pertinent information while we write checks to Jimmy Garoppolo, it says here.
We're going to gather the info. We're going to wait. We don't want to say anything bad because we just drafted the kid last year, and he's very talented. So we're not going to say anything yet, even though this report looks bad. We're going to keep our mouth shut until somebody else makes us say something.
Right, we're going to hold out hope that we can get him out of this.
Right.
He was sent home from the combine after getting into a fight at the hospital with a worker trying to test his urine. And then it came back diluted. Remember?
Yeah.
And then his rookie year, he played only 10 games with an ankle injury. He was second in the team in tackles. He missed 6 games in this season due to an ankle injury that bothered him most of the early season. He also had to deal with the police when he was held up outside a nightclub in San Francisco in October. The guy has a penchant for getting in trouble with the popo, it would appear to me. Carrying around his assault rifle. Just happened to have that on him this weekend. The Jaguars will raise ticket prices and remove the tarps. In 2018, those tarps were there because no one went to their games.
They're also going to change their uniforms and helmets.
Is that right? Year.
Yes, the two-toned black and gold helmet that they have been rolling around with for the last couple years, that is gone, apparently.
What are they going to go with?
They have not released the new attire yet.
Patriots player rips the media for questioning Belichick's Super Bowl game plan. Who is this player that Flowers saw the piece that Greg Bernard wrote? He's a D-lineman. And let's just say he didn't take kindly to the insinuation that Belichick may have designed a bad game plan. First Flowers responded by telling Bedard that Belichick has been to more Super Bowls than you've been with women. Oh, that didn't go over well. So you got all the answers, more than Coach Belichick has been to more Super Bowls than you've been with women. Uh-oh. Y'all going to critique arguably the best coach in history? Not on my watch. Flowers then pointed out that Belichick's game plan wasn't the problem. The problem was that Flowers didn't properly execute the game plan. Don't blame coaches. Blame me. They put me in a spot to succeed, and I didn't execute. There you go. Flowers also took a shot at Lane Johnson for saying that the Patriots don't have any fun while they win. The he in the tweet is Johnson. Yeah, he's clearly sleeping. Blowing a lot of hot air. Five Super Bowl wins is five times more than one. The irony there is the Flowers didn't actually get to experience any of those fun Super Bowl wins. He spent his first three seasons with the Bengals before being traded to New England in late August. So he hasn't been he hasn't won any, right? There you go. Flowers getting a lot of attention today.
Trying to earn those brownie points. He's in one of those cap casualties that Belichick likes to do all year.
Look at him. Look at how quickly your boy Belichick turned on Butler, let alone Flowers, who hasn't done anything. Bruce in Alabama, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Pharrell. How you doing, sir?
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, I was going to talk to you about the NCAA tournament at Southeastern Conference. Auburn is going to be a number two seed probably unless they keep winning. Hopefully they'll give Kentucky their fourth loss in a row. What do you think of Auburn's chances in the NCAA and the SEC as a whole?
Well, I mean, obviously Auburn is in there at number. They're a two seed right now, and they would the NCAA would have them in the Midwest. And I won't deny that they've had a great season. I'm I think they played great, 10-2 in conference, 22-3 overall. They've been incredible. They won again this weekend. Look, they're better than everybody in the SEC. I mean, you're looking at, how many of those teams are going to get in? I mean, it's sketchy, right? Like, none of them are that great. Tennessee going to get in. Is Florida and Missouri going to get in? They're sitting with 17 wins. I still think they can all get to 20. Alabama's at 16 wins. Mississippi State, 18. Kentucky and A&M, Arkansas, all 17 win overall. But in their own conference, all of them are average. I guess Tennessee and Florida are, you know, both 8-4. They're above average. But I'll be honest with you. I don't think that many of them are that good. I think Auburn is. I think the rest of them are all beatable. I mean, it is what it is. Kentucky's lost three in a row. You know, they've picked a fine time to start losing here. What is it, 4 weeks, Carver High, before they select on Sunday the 11th. So they better wake up or they're not going to make the tournament either. But far be it for me to say that Kentucky won't make the tournament based on how many friends – let's face it, Calipari has in that room, meaning the selection room, and in college basketball. Can you imagine an NCAA tournament without John Calipari coaching Kentucky? Can you even imagine it? I mean, but they're sitting in the middle of the pack in the SEC. They're barely breathing at 6-6. You know, Alabama's in front of them. Missouri, Florida, Tennessee, Auburn, they're all in front of them. And wasn't it? Who'd they lose to this weekend? A&M, or whatever? You know, they lost to them on Saturday. So it's, you know, one loss after the next. They lost to Tennessee. They lost to Missouri. They're losing to all these teams. Now they go to Auburn on Valentine's night. That's not going to be pleasant either. That could be four in a row.
I think that the conference as a whole is a lot better this year. They're going to get a lot more teams in than they have in the last few years. But like you just said, I don't have confidence that any of those teams will make deep, like, Final Four type runs, because I think the teams in the ACC or teams in the Big 12 will beat those teams, or maybe even the Big 10 as well. I just don't have a lot of faith in the SEC basketball.
All right, so a lot of these teams, it goes down to who do you play. So in the Pac-12, you got Arizona State has 19 wins. They're going. Washington and Oregon both have 17 wins. So does USC and UCLA. You going to leave them all out? For SEC teams, they all have 17 wins. So we know these small conferences are going to get, like, nobody in except one team maybe at best. And, you know, like, Conference USA, whoever wins the conference is going to go. Middle Tennessee, Old Dominion, and Western Kentucky are battling for that conference, even though Middle Tennessee has it right now and they got 20 wins. Doesn't mean they're going. Whoever wins that tournament will go, and then everybody else will probably get shafted.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.